was certainly keeping the lid on things, but in the morning the patrician was going to get to hear about it and demand to see the superior officer. Now, Sergeant Colon was not entirely clear in his own mind who was the superior officer at the moment. He felt that it should be either Captain Vimes, or in some way he couldn't quite define Corporal Carrot. But the captain wasn't around, and Corporal Carrot was only a corporal, and Fred Colon had a dreadful apprehension that when Lord Vetinari summoned someone in order to be ironical at them and say things like, "Who's going to pay their wages, pray?" it would be him, Fred Colon, well and truly up the Ankh, without a paddle. They were also running out of ranks. There were only 4 ranks below the rank of sergeant. Nobby was getting stroppy about anyone else being promoted to corporal, so there was a certain amount of career congestion taking place. Besides, some of the watch had got it into their heads that the way you got promoted was to conscript 6 other guards. At Detritus's current rate of progress, he was going to be High Supreme Major General by the end of the month. And what made it all strange was that Carrot was still only a... Colon looked up when he heard the tinkle of broken glass. Something golden and indistinct crashed through an upper window, landed in the shadows, and fled before he could make out what it was. The watchhouse door slammed open, and Carrot emerged, sword in hand. "Where did it go? Where did it go?"
"Dunno. What the hell was it?"
Carrot stopped.
"Not sure," he said.
"Carrot?"
"Sarge?"
"I should put some clothes on if I was you, lad."
Carrot stayed looking into the pre-dawn gloom.
"I mean, I turned around, and there it was, and..."
He looked down at the sword in his hand as if he hadn't realised that he was carrying it.
"Oh, damn," he said.
He ran back to his room and grabbed his breeches. As he struggled into them, he was suddenly aware of a thought in his head, clear as ice. "You are a pillock. What are you? Picked up the sword automatically, didn't you? Did it all wrong. Now she's run off, and you'll never see her again." He turned. A small grey dog was watching him intently from the doorway. "Shock like that, she might never change back again," said his thoughts. "Who cares if she's a werewolf? That didn't bother you until you knew.
Incidentally, any biscuits about your person could be usefully thrown to the small dog in the doorway, although, come to think of it, the chances of having a biscuit on you right now are very small, so forget you ever thought it. Blimey, you really messed that up, right?"
thought Carrot.
"Woof, woof," said the dog.
Carrot's forehead wrinkled.
"It's you, isn't it?" he said, pointing his sword. "Me? Dogs don't talk," said Gaspode hurriedly. "Listen, I should know, I am one."
"You tell me where she's gone right now, or..."
"Yeah, Luke," said Gaspode gloomily. "The first thing I remember in my life, right, the first thing was being thrown into the river in a sack with a brick. Me, I mean, I had wobbly legs and a humorously inside-out ear. I mean, I was fluffy." "Okay, right, so it was the Ankh. Okay, so I could walk ashore. But that was the start, and it ain't never got much better. I mean, I walked ashore inside the sack, dragging the brick. It took me 3 days to chew me way out. Go on, threaten me."
"Please," said Carrot.
Gaspode scratched his ear.
"Maybe I could track her down," said Gaspode, "given the right, you know, encouragement."
He waggled his eyebrows encouragingly.
"If you find her, I'll give you anything you want," said Carrot.
"Oh, well, right, if... right, oh, yes, that's all very well, is if. What about something up front? Look at these paws, eh? Wear and tear. And this nose doesn't smell by itself. It's a finely tuned instrument."
"If you don't start looking right away," said Carrot, "I will personally..."
He hesitated. He'd never been cruel to an animal in his life.
"I'll turn the matter over to Corporal Nobbs," he said.
"That's what I like," said Gaspode bitterly. "Incentive."
He pressed his blotchy nose to the ground. It was all show, anyway. Angua's scent hung in the air like a rainbow.
"You can really talk?" said Carrot.
Gaspode rolled his eyes.
"Course not," he said.
The figure had reached the top of the tower. Lamps and candles were alight all over the city. It was spread out below him. 10,000 little earthbound stars, and he could turn off anyone he wanted just like that. It was like being a god. It was amazing how sounds were so audible up here. It was like being a god. He could hear the howl of dogs, the sound of voices. Occasionally one would be louder than the rest, rising up into the night sky. This was power. The power he had below, the power to say, "Do this, do that." That was just something human. But this was like being a god. He pulled the gun into position, clicked a rack of 6 bullets into position, and sighted at random on a light. And then another one. And another one. He really shouldn't have let it shoot that beggar girl.